you know, the Chevy Corvette is 290 horse, and the Jaguar is 380. So there's a friend of mine talking about the, or at least talking to it. I got to hold on for a minute. Yeah, David?
What? I don't understand what you're doing.
Where are you right now?
Never mind where I am. I'm wondering, what are you doing?
I'm talking about, I'm on my show.
I know you're on your show. I'm asking you, what are you doing? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a Lexus dealer that a friend of mine and I...
You're talking about a Lexus dealer?
Yeah, that a friend of mine and I were at...
Okay, let me explain something to you. First of all, and I don't like doing this in the middle of your show, Phil.
Well, you're doing it.
I know I'm doing it. I gotta do it. Otherwise, you are about ready to take 1 hour of quality broadcast time and throw it into the toilet.
No, I'm not.
I know what you... Let me explain something. Do you remember the meeting we had about understanding... Were you asleep? Did you have your thumb parked up your rear end, understanding the audience?
What's the point here?
The point is you're talking about high-end automobiles like the Lexus that the average person can't afford, isn't going to buy, and isn't interested in hearing about it. And on top of that, by you're about to talk bad about Lexus, you're insulting me. And you're putting me in bad light with very important people. The world is run by...
You didn't even know what I was going to say about Lexus.
You started bad-mouthing the fact that their sports coupe had 300 horse, and the Jaguar's got 380, and the Corvette's got 290. This is bad-mouthing Lexus. Now, I'm going to say something to you that you probably already know, but I'm going to say it anyway. The world's most important people drive Lexus and Mercedes. The world's most important employers, the world's highest taxpayers, the world's largest corporate executives drive Lexus and Mercedes. And you're hanging me out to dry with them?
I thought the audience could relate to the sales experience.
The audience can relate. You want to talk about a sales experience? Then why don't you talk to them about buying a bicycle or a Ford Ranger? Let me ask you something, Phil.
Well, David.
Now, let me ask you, do you think it's tasteful? I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm being very serious. Do you think it's tasteful or thoughtful to use sign language and say to a deaf person, boy, it's too bad you're deaf because Puccini is playing right now on the radio? What's the answer?
I don't know.
You know, in other words, if you would be the kind of guy, Phil, that would say to a blind man, ha ha, too bad you're blind because the sunset is so fantastic. Is that what you do?
Now, you know full well I wouldn't.
Well, that's what you're doing to these listeners when you start going, well, the other day my friend and I were shopping at a Lexus dealership, and
I think...
Phil, that's like saying to a blind man, hey, too bad you can't see Jennifer Lopez's ass, because it's so fantastic.
I guess a blind guy could feel her ass.
But you're missing my point. These people that listen to your show are like the deaf, dumb, and blind of luxury car buying. They don't have it in their pocketbook. They don't have it in the cookie jar. They can't sell enough eggs. They're not going to go out back and dig up a can of nickels. They drive cars that they think pass for luxury. Your listeners drive Camrys. They drive Acuras. They drive Explorers. And if they're really lucky, they might get into a Jeep Cherokee. But that's all. You understand? That's all they know.
So me talking about a Lexus and a Mercedes...
You talking about Lexus and Mercedes is like talking about a beautiful, gorgeous, golden sunset to a blind man who will never see it. To these people, Phil, that are listening to your program, a Lexus and a Mercedes is a pretty picture in a magazine. And you mock your listeners by bringing it up. You mock them.
All right, I have to give her... It's not my intention.
I know it's not your intention, but you're doing it. Go ahead, give your phone number out. See how many people want to call in about your Lexus buying experience.
The part that I have a problem with is when I'm starting to do a bit on the air and you call up and you start ripping me an ass in front of the listeners.
Phil, listeners don't have that long of an attention span. They forget. They forget. I'm trying to make a point right now. Half of the people that are listening to your program right now, it's going one ear and out the other. They don't even know what it is we're talking about. One thing they won't do, though, is they're not going to sit there and yawn. You're talking about Lexus and Mercedes. They don't even know what they've seen a Lexus from a distance. They've been sitting there at Taco Lita getting, you know, the six tacos for a dollar, and somebody goes, yeah, man, there goes one of those Lexus or whatever the hell, and a guy goes, oh, yeah, and then he gets into his Camaro 5-speed, and he drives away. So it's like giving a steak to a Nigerian kid. Why? Why? You give the kid a handful of nuts and berries, he's happy. Give him a steak, and he won't have a decent bowel movement for years.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the Phil Henry Show. I appreciate you giving me these pointers, David.
Don't sound so down at the mouth, Jesus. Now you sound like you get some confidence because the audience is going to think you're some kind of a pussy. Start talking confidently.
All right, Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I apologize for bringing up purchasing a Lexus or a Mercedes.
You know, all that stuff. Oh, well, 300 horsepower for the Lexus, and there's 380 for a Jag. What person listening to you even knows what the hell it is you're talking about?
Let me ask you something.
What?
How do you know this? I mean, there's all kinds of people in the world.
Look, Phil, we've been doing these focus groups, and we've been doing these research groups on talk radio and its listeners for years. Then you know this.
All right.
The average talk show listener has got maybe a high school degree. That's it. They like to talk about Bush. They don't really know much about it. You got that vocabulary list?
I got a list of words that I'm not supposed to say on the air.
Right. What's the first one there?
It says here, don't ever say excellent.
You don't have to say excellent. Say good. You don't say, oh, it was excellent. It was good. It was good. These are the words your audience understands. It was good. What's the next word?
Next word is eclectic.
You don't say eclectic. You sound like some Kansas City queer. You say bunch of stuff all mixed up. So, for instance, if I was going to say I went to an eclectic music performance that was excellent, why don't you put it into English now?
I went to a music performance that was a bunch of stuff all mixed up, and it was good.
That's what I'm talking about. Now these people know what you're saying. You're talking over their heads. Why is it you use that word bilateral?
It's a good word.
You say two guys talking. You don't say bilateral. So, if I were to say to you the United States is conducting bilateral talks with Russia, how would you say it like a regular guy?
There's two guys talking, one from America, one from Russia, about stuff.
Right.
1-800-449-8686. Jennifer, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer.
How are you?
Fine.
You know, this is the first time I'm hearing your show.
That's nice. Turn your radio down.
Oh. Hello?
Yes?
I just, you know, that guy that I was talking earlier, I'm hearing he's your boss.
David, are you there?
I'm right here, yeah.
Okay, you know, I see where you're coming from about the whole Lexus thing, but you kind of pissed me off when you said I have the average listener have the attention span of a 12-year-old or something like that.
Well, they do.
No. I'm an average listener.
Well, ma'am, I've been doing radio research for years. The average listener of talk radio, I'm saying.
Of talk radio?
Yeah.
I listened to talk radio before, and my attention span is not that of a 12-year-old.
Well,
and you
okay.
know, if Phil wants to go out and buy a Lexus, more power to him.
Right.
I don't give a crap. I would like to hear about it.
He can buy a Lexus, but you're not going to understand what he's talking about.
Yeah, but what if I take his advice one day, and when I have a chance to go to a Lexus dealership, I can be, well, you know.
Well, what are you going to do? You don't have that kind of money.
How do you know that?
Most people that listen to talk radio don't have the kind of money to afford a Lexus.
How do you know I don't have enough money
because
to afford a Lexus?
I've done the research. Ma'am, let me make a point.
You've done research.
What do you drive?
What's your margin of error?
Well, yes, sir. What do you drive?
What am I driving?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I'm driving.
Yeah, that proves it. You don't have a car that's worth more than $35,000.
Oh, you are.
No, you don't. You don't. And I'm right, aren't I? Do you know what excellent means?
Of course she knows what excellent means.
I don't want people on my radio station using big words.
Oh, well, excuse me that I don't have the vocabulary to fit your standards, sir.
No, I'm just saying, do you know what that means?
I can barely even hear you.
Do you know what excellent means?
Excellent?
Yeah.
I know what excellent means.
What?
It means something that's wonderful beyond anything you could imagine.
It means good.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you say it?
What?
Jesus.
You know,
Here's what
you're awful.
No,
you are
not
awful.
What I'm trying to say is if Mr. Henry's going to talk
about
somebody's show.
What you're trying to say is that I'm not, that the average listener such as me has the IQ of that of my shoe size, correct?
Well, here's the thing. When I asked you what excellent meant, you went on, you totally didn't know. You go, beyond your wildest dreams. But it's good. It means it's good.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, I thought that was kind of shallow of you to be dogging on the general public.
All right,
nothing but a bunch of airheads.
Wait a minute, hold on. I bet you I can guess what you do for a living.
Go for it.
You want me to go for it?
Do you want to even know how old I am?
No, no.
No.
I don't want to know any of that. I can tell you what you do for a living.
Go for it.
All right? You just said go for it. You're a student.
No.
So you've never been to school?
I'm going to school. But
all right, you're a student.
Public,
you're a student. Thank you. I got it.
Okay, right. You know what?
Yes,
you know,
I
but if the general
see,
public is going to school,
yeah,
you definitely
to school.
Need to work your way through it. You don't just all of a sudden earn it.
You're a student. I knew it. Thank you.
What's with you?
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, I gotta take
you
a
definitely
break.
Don't deserve that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Parking spot at your job.
1-800-449-8686. David G. Hall is with us. I started off by talking about buying a Lexus and a Mercedes, and I guess I had to get David back on here. You are saying, basically, from what you know, David, that
the average talk radio listener, Phil. Let's see. That woman, I just saw through her like she was wrapped in Saran wrap. I knew she was a student. And I knew she's driving a car that probably isn't worth more than $30,000. She is a typical talk show listener. For you to get on your show and talk about buying a Lexus and buying a Mercedes, you might as well come from another planet where they have heads that are really huge and start talking about advanced math. You're like an extraterrestrial talking to Earth people.
Meaning they don't get me.
No, they don't get you. Like when they came down and they made, you know what I'm talking about, the chariots of fire stuff, and they came down, they made a human. They probably blew our minds. They probably showed us all kinds of stuff, and we just, you know, we ran away like monkeys. You'd be like a man talking to an ape.
Me talking to my listeners about Lexus and Mercedes?
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Oh, come on.
No, wait a minute. They know it's a car, and they know it's a car that maybe they can afford, maybe they can't. What do you mean a man talking to an ape?
I'm telling you, Phil, I've done the research. Talk radio hosts that talk about Lexus and Mercedes to their listeners, it might as well be a human being saying, sit up, Spot, come on. I'm serious.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. What I wanted to say was a whole lot of stuff about going to a Lexus dealership, but according to my boss, it is a complete and utter waste of my time because you guys will never be able to afford one. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
All right, I got some callers lined up, David.
Go ahead and take the calls. I'm not stopping you. I'm not stopping you from doing your show. I just don't want you going on and on about Lexus and Mercedes and stuff that people don't know anything about. Don't talk about buying high-performance cars with a talk radio audience.
Because they're idiots.
I didn't say idiots. I said most of them are uneducated.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Danielle on the Phil Henry Show with David G. Hall, our Vice President of Syndication. Go ahead, ma'am.
I want to know why you think everybody is so uneducated about high-performance vehicles.
High-performance vehicles? First of all, it isn't that they're uneducated. They'll never be able to afford one.
I can afford one. I own one.
Really? What do you own?
BMW or Mercedes or Lexus.
What do you own, ma'am?
I actually own a Chevy Avalanche with an 8.1-liter Vortec.
Ma'am, how much did you buy it for?
Is that...
It's relevant,
about 50,000 bucks.
It's chicken feed.
It is chicken feet. What do you want to talk about?
I'm talking about Lexus. I'm talking about Lexus. I'm talking about Mercedes, okay? I'm talking about
a classic car that's way over
your price range, all right?
I doubt
but
that
thank
it is.
You. Thank you very much.
But I choose it.
Thank you very much for your call.
For where
and
I
it's been great.
Hold on. I want to listen to what the lady's saying.
What does she got? She's got nothing to say.
I want to hear what
she's... No, I have plenty to say.
Well, look, you'll never afford a Lexus, so let's just move on.
Yes, I can afford a Lexus right now.
Well, why don't you buy one?
Because it does not serve the purpose that I need.
Well, why don't you buy an Escalade? How about a Cadillac Escalade?
An Escalade doesn't come in a 3/4-ton model, and it only comes with a 350.
Let me ask something. So you go out to dinner in a 3/4-ton truck, is that it?
It's an Avalanche, and it's all tricked out, and it's all leather, and it drives like a car.
Lady... It's a $50,000 SUV. I'm talking about Mercedes, Jaguar, Lexus. Henry was on the air talking about these cars as if you guys could afford one.
Look, the lady just said she can afford one.
I can't afford one. Do you know how many cars I have? I can't afford one.
What are you hauling in that Avalanche?
It does not serve my needs.
What are you hauling that Avalanche?
What do I haul?
Yeah.
I haul horses with it.
Oh, look, that's what I'm talking about.
And I also have a diesel to haul a big horse trailer.
Look, I'm not talking about going out and getting the pigs to market here. I'm talking about going to a real nice restaurant in a beautiful sedan with a burl wood interior, with the high-performance turbocharged engine, in a beautiful sedan, you know? Like you could put some black guy in a hat in it.
And that's where you got to go when it snows.
Well, you know what? You're right. If I got to haul pigs to the market... You better believe I'm not doing it to him in a Mercedes.
All right.
You know, you're so condescending. You should be so condescending.
I'm very educated. Look, lady, I've spent thousands of dollars in consults for this radio show, and our research proves you can't afford a Lexus even if you used your gums down at the docks. Now,
you
all
are
the things...
Full of,
what in the hell?
Full of it, buddy.
What kind of a comment is that?
What?
Are you the guy, when I listen to you, you've got to be the same guy that said everybody that owns a pit bull is white trash because you caught your... wife or your girlfriend doing a dog?
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, come off it.
That wasn't me.
Okay.
I don't know what you want, but it wasn't me.
Oh, name your name.
Might have been another show.
Might have been another show, yeah.
No, it was on this radio show.
Might have been on this station. What
but
station?
Anyway, just
what
just
station
so
are you listening to? What station
everybody
are you listening to? I think she's listening to that station on a dumb road.
Everybody's undereducated.
That morning show, there's always talking about dogs.
No, it was actually in the evening, and it was this show.
What was it, the morning? Who's on? What station are you listening to?
What? Some steamboat station.
Steamboat station?
Yeah.
It's a radio station.
Oh, don't be a smart ass.
No, man, you need to get a grip.
Honey, you and your rodeo friend, look.
We allow you to make money off of this.
Look at darling. You and your rodeo friends can do whatever you want with your pit bulls around the campfire. I'm talking about Lexus.
I don't have any pit bulls and I don't rodeo, so get off it.
Well, what the hell are you hauling horses for? Don't tell me.
Because
I don't want to know.
I show them. I don't rodeo.
You do what with them?
I show
them.
She
shows them.
I don't rodeo either.
Well, yee-haw. Hey, I got a great place to take your horses.
What kind of car do you drive?
It's called a glue factory. Do you ever haul them down there?
What kind of car do you drive? What
kind of car do I drive? I have a Bentley. Thank you very much. $250,000. Never mind.
All right. All right, Danielle. Thank you very much.
See ya.
1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is
right now. Come over at Dan Olander's bachelor party right now.
All right, we're back on the air. 1-800-4... You're at Danny's bachelor party?
Yeah. Are we on the air?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Never mind.
I'm sorry. Wait, was I not supposed to say that?
Never mind. Let's just move on.
I'm with David G. Hall. He's the vice president of syndication for The Phil Hendry Show. You were telling me that I shouldn't be talking about Lexus or Mercedes on the air because talk radio listeners are basically not educated enough and they can't afford the car anyway.
Right. and you keep wanting to tell you what I'm going to do for you, Phil. Tell me the little Lexus story that you were going to tell at the top of the show. Tell the story.
It was just, I went with a friend of mine to a Lexus dealer.
Go ahead, tell the story. Tell the story, and there's the listeners out there are going to be like, they're going to be like Filipino tribesmen sitting on the ground cross-legged and staring at you as if you're the great white Bwana with the white man's medicine. They won't know what you're talking about. Go ahead, tell your Lexus story. They'll be sitting around with the fire dancing in their faces as their wide eyes hear your tales of some faraway land where they... And by the way, Lexus, Phil, as I said, is driven by some of the world's most powerful men.
Boy, you really think little of your listeners.
I love... Hold on for a second, my friend.
We're talking about the natives sitting there with their eyes wide.
I love our listeners as I love a child. Our listeners are my children. And I know how to treat them.
I go to the Lexus dealership with my friend Keith.
All right.
We see this sports coupe. I say to the guy, or Keith says to the guy, wow, you know, nice looking ride. Can I test drive it? And the guy chuckles.
Right, I know what you're going to say. They didn't have one for him to test drive.
Right.
You got to order. You got to get on a waiting list to buy that car.
That's what I found out. There's actually a waiting list.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's really great.
Well, what's wrong with it?
It's a marketing ploy. It's a stupid marketing ploy. Get on a waiting list, and you can't even... Who would drive a car that they don't test drive? And I'll tell you something else. It's not that good-looking of a car.
All right, now watch it, Phil.
It's not that good-looking of a car. In fact, I've heard people say, with the hard top on it, it looks stupid.
Watch it. Because you are talking about an automobile that friends of mine drive, that people high up in the broadcast business...
Oh, and one more thing.
What?
It burns rice. So let's start talking about...
Oh, so that's what it's... And by the way, Phil, that's a racist thing.
That's not racist. The Lexus is a rice burner, and people forget that, okay? It's made in Japan by Toyota, and the rims on it suck, too.
Oh, boy, you really want it, don't you?
No, I'm just telling you where it's at.
The Lexus is one of the finest automobiles ever. Ever.
300 horse. Freaking Jaguar's got 380. That new Cadillac's got 400. Big deal, 300 horse.
Well, you really did it now. You really stuck your foot in it.
No, I didn't stick my foot in anything. That's what I think about that. 1-800-449-8686. Dana, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Fine.
Yeah, that Lexus, it's just a Toyota with fancy sheet metal on it.
Right.
And
no, it isn't. Some of the most powerful men in the world drive it.
Yeah, so what? You drive a Bentley? What year is your Bentley?
I drive a
new
$300,000
Bentley. Why don't you buy something that was made in America? Actually, I live in Detroit, Michigan.
I'd buy something.
I work at Ford Motor Company.
I would buy something made in America.
I make the finest cars.
If it didn't fall apart in 6 months.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Wait a minute. This guy's an auto worker.
Oh, that's the guy I get to blame then. Hey, Dana, try this. Try not drinking your lunch before you go back on the assembly line.
No, I don't work on the assembly line. I work in the steel mill. I make the steel that makes the car.
That rusts.
That Japan
that puts the hole in the floor.
Because they can't make any steel over there. It's worth a goddamn.
Hey, do you know what a potato is?
Do I know what? What is?
What?
What's a potato?
A potato. Yeah, that's something that, well, I won't say what that is.
What is it? I don't know what it is.
That's something that a person like that should take medically.
It's you know, you work for Ford. You know what that stands for?
Yeah, found on the road dead.
Right.
Yeah. Ha, ha, ha.
Ha,
yeah,
ha,
and
ha.
You know what pays your bills?
Look at
people like me in the flyover states.
By the way, Dana, my wife drives a Ford.
You know what I drive?
By the way, Dana, my wife
drives a Ford Grand Marquis, and it gets me to work every day.
Don't that burn rice?
A 1984 Grand Marquis. You know how old that is?
No, that's not
almost as old as your IQ is.
That's not a rice burner. That's an American-made car.
Gosh darn right.
Hey, you know something? I would love to buy American, okay? But I'm just, you know, I'm fresh out of all of those coupons.
Oh, yeah? You know what a Lexus is? It's a German wannabe. It's a Toyota with fancy sheet metal.
It's exactly what a Lexus is. It's just a, it's a wannabe luxury car. It's burning rice out there. And people forget that it was Toyota's idea to get into the...
It's a damn good car. You're going to deny it's a damn good car?
I work with people. They don't have enough sense to buy American. They buy Mercedes. They buy Lexus. You know, you got a 300-horsepower automobile. Where are you going to drive that? Up and down your driveway? You
know, well, at least I can drive it. I get
driveway.
Some...
We only got a 70-mile-an-hour speed
limit. Well, hold on for a minute. At least
in
I can drive it.
The fastest places in this country.
I buy something from Detroit. All I can do is get it down my driveway.
Isn't that funny?
You know, that would be too far for you to go. I don't think you should actually leave the home.
It's too far for most American cars, I can tell you that.
You know, I've heard you're burping on the radio. Have you ever heard of Edward R. Morrow? You know, used to have a little bit of class on the radio.
I've never heard of him.
But now we listen to people like you that burp on the radio.
Exactly.
They're at a bachelor party? I'm sure you've probably got some strippers there.
I happen to be at a bachelor party. Lap dancers. Yeah.
You know, it sounds like you're a homoerotic kind of person that really doesn't have a life.
Wait a second. Homoerotic Ben's gay.
What do you got a Bentley? What? Are you kind of lacking in the shorts?
Look, I had an American car.
You got to have a real big car.
I had an American car, but my wife needed a planter.
Your car costs more than my house.
Yeah, that's exactly right, my friend.
In fact, I'm going to have to come over and party with you.
I got a suit of clothes that costs more than your house.
Give you a little sense.
Give me some sense.
You know, because I think you're at the end of the flyover zone, you know? And you know why you fly over is because we don't want you kind of people in our neighborhood.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen, a Detroit auto worker.
Go to the coast, from one coast to the other, and, you know, you can live with each other.
Hey, Dana, what are you building tomorrow? Just so I know what not to buy.
You know, I'm not building anything. I make steel. I work at a steel mill.
How do you make steel?
It's steel.
It's what?
It's iron that has been alloyed. And that's what the...
Have you ever been alloyed?
The steel on your Lexus? No, on your Bentley? You drive a Bentley. The steel on your Bentley probably came from my steel mill.
I doubt it. It comes from England.
Look, at Dana, I appreciate what you do, and... thank you.
Thank you, Dana. I appreciate what you do. You don't appreciate Jack. Excuse me. All right, now that's your right. I should have done that.
There's David again.
Yeah, there he is again.
I mean, I'm sorry. I wouldn't even be that rude in my own house.
I think you're absolutely right.
I'm sorry. I had some Szechuan chicken.
No, he's not sorry.
I had Szechuan chicken.
We know what Szechuan is.
Yeah.
We know what Lexus is.
Comes from the same place that makes Lexus.
Stupid here in the heartland of the country.
No, I think you're right. I think
you want to fight a war.
When you're sober, you're a great guy.
Hollywood and get them to build the boats and the tanks and the fighters, the fighting
boats. What boats do you guys build over in Detroit
that you need to fight the war? Okay?
I'm not talking about cabin cruisers, all right?
You know,
forget about the fishing boats, man. I'm talking about. I'm sure you guys build a real good bass boat.
Dummy tanks. And, you know, you can fight the war, okay?
Okay.
And you
sounds good to me.
In New York, too, okay?
Why don't you drive that boat of a marquee right into the over to Iraq, pal?
Okay. Just wanted to know if it's still there. 1-800-449-8686. Well, that was, that was spirited. David G. Hall, our vice president of syndication, don't talk about Lexus. And that's all we did for the last 45 minutes is talk about Lexus, Mercedes, and everything else. To finish my story, if I might, I go to the guy at the Lexus dealer. And I'm there with my friend, and the guy says, we'd like to take a test drive as well. We're not giving you a test drive, sir. You have to sign up for the test drive in this thing. Maybe we have one here. I couldn't believe this guy. I said, well, this has got to be some kind of a, you know, sales pitch and everything. So he says, well, what's your service plan on this car? Not a stupid question. The guy said, sir, this is Lexus. So the guy went over and bought a Jaguar. He didn't want to mess around with these guys' double talk. I understand that it's Lexus. What does that mean? Well, you know, I know the name stands for quality. When a guy asks you a specific question about what's the service plan, answer it. Just answer the question. So I think Lexus makes a great car. But that Sport Coupe looks really dopey with that dopey hard top. It's not a very good design, guys. Sorry. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Go to our website, philhendryshow.com. You need a backstage pass. You can pick up a backstage pass and listen to our audio archives, but you have to have your $6.95 backstage pass. And that way you can listen to all of the audio in our archives. You can listen to our 30-day archive. And you can generally enjoy the website. You don't need to get a backstage pass to visit our souvenir shop, though. We have our CDs in there, our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, and our Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. And we also have different places like our scrapbook and our wall of female listeners, which is always bizarre. I mean, it's a good wall of female listeners. It's just I'm bizarre that I have it on my site. Something, it's nothing up against you. It's all me. It's all my problem. It's all my fault. Like I say so often during the day to my wife and kids. Anyway, send a picture if you got one to the Phil Hendry Show. Just send it via email to phs@philhendryshow.com if you'd like to be a woman on our female wall of listeners. And we have only 50 or 51 women listening to the show, so you can make yourself number 52. We also have archived our two webcasts. We did a webcast where we had streaming video on our show last Friday, or like two Fridays ago, I guess it was, just before Christmas, and we did the same thing last year. So you can check us out when we're prepping the show and when we're you know, executing the show. So it's a good word for it some days. We're just putting a gun right to its head and pulling the trigger. We're executing our show. Today at the end of the show at 7 o'clock, we're going to blow its brains out. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is a little thing from AskBen.com. They've always got little things on that website. Tiny, little, tiny things. And here is 10 types of women to avoid. Any guy that needs this kind of advice ain't been around. Fortunately, I have, and I've probably dated every one of these women. Fortunately for me, I've known this woman. She's called the leech. This type of woman insists that you spend every waking moment with her, refusing to let you go out with the boys or spend any significant amount of time with anyone else. If you suggest that she should hook up with her girlfriends while you go watch the game with your friends, she'll probably be faced with a two-hour argument during which she'll ask you if you still love her about 1,000 times. In other words, she's psychotic, she's insane, she will carve up your furniture, she'll stick a knife in your back, she'll take the air out of your tires. Stay far, 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 far away. Far away, Charlie, because you think, you go, look at this, I found love. She's so beautiful and she loves me and she's with me every waking moment. I guarantee you'll be plotting her murder within 6 months. You'll start to ask people who know people who know people. Say, how much can, would it cost me if you just sort of made someone sort of go away?
Oh, really? I think I know just the guy.
All right, number 9, the stage hog. Whether you're with friends, family, or even just the dog, she always has to be the center of everyone's attention. Oh, boy. Did I tell you when we went to Hawaii last summer? You know, Marie and I took a week. We went over there. And we were sitting with a couple. This woman never shut up. We were with, like, four couples that we met. So we decided, oh, let's have dinner together. We were enjoying everybody's company, sort of. This one woman, even when it wasn't really about her, when she had no knowledge of the particular thing you were talking about, I had said to everybody, you know, my wife and I were just in New York right after 9/11 happened, and,
oh, you know, my son was there, and his name is Harvey, and Harvey told me that when he went down there,
yeah, I know, it was really smoldering, and
it was smoldering, and there was steam,
and there was steam coming out, and then, you know, you could walk from the Tribeca Grill,
and you could walk from the Tribeca Grill.
Right, and the police were crying,
and he said that the police were crying.
And I wanted to just say, this is what in my mind is going on. Hey, shut up.
That's what's in my mind. My demeanor, though, is, that's great. God, it's so great listening to you dominate the conversation. And she was married to some guy who was about 20 years older, and he thought he hit the jackpot with her, man. He's about 65. She's about 45. She's running her big fat mouth. He's a former big football player, so I guess she thinks he's a stud. And he's just, yeah, he's thinking he's just got the world on a string. And I'm thinking, you poor bastard, what you've been through in your life, and you think you hit a home run with that? Number 8, the gold digger. Fortunately, you can usually see this type coming from a mile away. She compliments you on your expensive watch, asks you what kind of car you drive, what you do for a living, where you live, and so on. This is the stupidest one of all. Yeah, AskMen.com. Why don't you start asking some men? Yeah, naturally she's going to ask you where you live and what kind of... This is what most women ask you, what you do for a living. Since the gold digger is basically looking for a sugar daddy, she'll size you up within the first 5 minutes and drop you just as... get out of here, baloney. Regardless of your financial situation, you should run the other way. Do you really want a woman who only sees men as dollar signs? Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. Because that way, she's not bothering me for anything else. Yes, I do. Yeah. Thank you. If your girl... Guys, here's Phil Hendry's advice. Look for a woman who's only interested in money. Then go out and make a lot of money. Make sure she's beautiful. And then, after about, say, 15 years, trade her in on a younger model. She'll expect it. All right, Mother Goose, if your girlfriend is constantly fixing your hair and tucking in your shirt, you're having sex with your own mother. No, you're the victim of a Mother Goose. Although she may have good intentions and be great in so many other ways, her motherly instincts will become really annoying really soon. It may not be a lost cause, however. Some women can be taught to stop mothering you. However, if you've talked to her about it a few times and she still can't resist the urge to spit on a tissue to remove a spot from your face, you might have to go your separate ways. Is this the stupidest thing I've ever read since I used to host the Playboy Advisor? This is dopey. And then there's the motor mouth. This type chatters incessantly about every topic that crosses her mind, no matter how mundane or unimportant it may be. She will drive you crazy with her never-ending monologues about the guy at work who never makes a new pot of coffee when he finishes the last one, and the woman at the supermarket who wears too much makeup. The worst type of motor mouth is the one whose favorite topic of conversation is herself. If you manage, well, as long as she's talking about, who cares, you know? Let her talk. Let her talk. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. While she's undressing, let her talk.
1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. One 800 449 8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
The idea of a halfway house for sex offenders, halfway houses for sex offenders in middle class neighborhoods, obviously, or within the proximity of a middle class neighborhood, obviously, has the attention of a lot of neighbors and a lot of neighborhoods. Dr. Jim Sadler works as a criminal behaviorist at Alacan Institute in Cheviot Hills, New York. He joins us. The idea of franchising halfway houses for sex offenders, or what you call offenses against nature, in middle-class neighborhoods, why?
Well, Phil, it's a wonderful opportunity for making money. You can make your money off the rent that the tenants pay, 60% of which is paid for by the state. The sex offender or the child molester has a rehabilitative halfway house to live in while he works his way back into society.
Yeah, but why in middle-class neighborhoods are these halfway houses?
Well, it's a very good question. The suburban ideal, it's very calm, it's very peaceful, traditional tree-lined streets of middle-class America sends a strong message to the former nature criminal. That these are good
nature criminals.
We consider them people who've committed offenses against the very essence of nature. They have crimes against nature. And these are good values to have. So if you put the child molester or the nature criminal in a suburban atmosphere, these values can rub off.
But these are the very neighborhoods where there are kids.
Ah, okay, yes.
And you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I see. But, and I knew you'd say that, all right?
These are the neighborhoods where there are children.
And I, we get this question a lot.
Well, what do you say to that? You put a halfway house for crimes against nature guys and sex offenders, and you put them in a neighborhood.
We get that question a lot.
Well, what do you say?
You know, I knew you'd get around to that. That's a lot of smoke and mirrors. The media plays that up. A former sex maniac moves into a neighborhood, and they start jumping to conclusions. Remember that these men, Phil, have paid their debt to society and now have a constitutional right to live on a clean street in a quiet neighborhood. We are interested in the rehabilitation of the sex nut or the sex maniac or what you want to call it, the nature criminal.
And I don't get why it has to be in a so-called quiet neighborhood, though. Again, you have a halfway house for what you describe as former sex nuts in a middle-class neighborhood.
It's a hard, Phil. What I'm trying to say is it's a hard road rebuilding a life after molesting a child, and they need a quiet, clean neighborhood to help them, think through where they need to go next.
Think through where they need to go next.
Other than, yes, being sex maniacs or a sex freak, they're just like you and I. Other than that,
Other than that, they're just like me, so they get to live in a neighborhood. I mean, to me, this is why you've got this resistance, okay?
But that's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Well, you never answered the question. Why is it that there's children in these neighborhoods? Why would you put these houses there?
And I, as I said, I knew you'd ask that question.
What is the answer?
The media is playing it up.
See, this is the whole thing where the media keeps getting beat up. I'm in the media. I really get tired of my profession taking it for every single bad mistake and every single wrong decision made by someone. People say the media did this and the media did that. You are saying, and in your brochure, former sex maniacs, sex nuts, and sex freaks. This hardly makes a neighborhood feel secure.
Phil, again, many of these sex, they have a right to a clean neighborhood to live in. And many of them sit out on the lawn and they're not allowed to wander off into the surrounding housing area. So why don't you feel good about that?
Yeah, in the brochure it says many of our sex nuts sit out on the front lawn and never wander off.
That is absolutely correct. And I would fight, I dare you to have one bit of proof that any sex nut that was housed at a Sadler rehabilitative sex rehabilitation thing, a house, ever attacked anyone.
Are these guys violent?
Well, you asked, are they violent?
Are they violent?
No, they're not violent. They're real different. I mean, you get a load of the files on some of these guys, and it's very, I got to tell you, it's very interesting reading. We have a guy in one of our halfway...
Well, isn't that great?
Well, I want to tell you, we have a guy in one of our halfway houses in Michigan. His name is Raleigh Ginaway. And this guy is way out there. But the suburban experience has been able to turn him around.
All right, are these guys going... Let me give our phone number at 1-800-449-8686. As we talk to Dr. Jim Sadler, a behaviorist, on the desirability of putting halfway houses for sex offenders in middle-class neighborhoods. You say they are able to absorb the middle-class values. Now, you're talking about this guy, whoever he is.
Raleigh Ginaway has done a marvelous job in...
And why do you call them, in the brochure, sex nuts?
Because that's what they are. You ought to get a load of the files on some of these guys. They're real different.
All right, are these guys going through counseling and therapy?
Are they going through counseling and therapy?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah, they're going through that.
Well, what kind?
Well, the kind that you sit and talk to somebody. I don't know, what do you mean, what kind?
Are they in therapy to help them begin to control their impulses?
Sure, yeah, they got Oprah, I don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean they watch Oprah?
Well, they're in therapy, all right? The halfway house is all about. It helps you get halfway out the door, but not all the way, so I don't know what you mean.
Well, how long are these neighborhoods going to be asked to have these halfway houses for sex offenders?
Well, fortunately, I have the example of my brother Leo Sadler, Phil, and I'll tell you something out of my life, and this is very painful. My brother Leo was tragically convicted of being a sex maniac. After the 5 years he did at the men's colony in San Luis Obispo, it took him only 6 months at one of our halfway houses that I operated with my partner, Dr. Nat Schiller, before he was able to get out into the world. Only 6 months, and behave in a halfway civilized way. It only took that long. And plus, he also had so much electroshock in prison, which is also something that you can do. But this is great. And again, it's something that a person such as yourself, Phil, and whoever could get involved in at the ownership level. And
I'm not interested in owning a halfway house for what you call sex nuts. And I think some of this stuff... And what do you mean he had a lot of electroshock in prison?
That helped him along toward recovery. But it only took him 6 months to get back out into the world and to begin to act like...
A civilized human being?
Close to it. Close to it. But better than he was.
Is he attacking people? Is he sexually assaulting women?
No. No.
Does he have a job?
That's the thing. We keep them from sexually assaulting women or children, but they're not much good for anything else for a few months. That's why I say we don't let them go off the lawn.
All right, so now in a middle-class neighborhood, you have what you call sex nuts sitting out on the front lawn. They're not allowed to go out.
I don't know what you want from me. I mean, they watch Oprah.
1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler with us with a controversial plan to place halfway houses for what he calls sex freaks. And you heard him. You ought to read the files on some of these guys. It's real interesting. Halfway houses in these neighborhoods, and it's just not going to work out. Now, he says his brother, it only took him 6 months in a halfway house to get situated in the world. That's fine, but that's after electroshock in prison. And I said, did you hear this guy? He said, the guy doesn't commit these sex acts anymore, but the freaking guy is not good for much else. 1-800-449-8686. Let's talk to Marcia. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, thanks.
Yes.
My comment or question is, what kind of...
Dr. Sadler, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
I'm asking Dr. Sadler.
I'm right here, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Okay. What kind of case study do you have if these people don't reoffend? And in my neighborhood, where my children are out walking up and down the street where they're supposed to be able to feel safe...
That's a lot of... I would not worry about the safety of your children. The media has...
Here we go with this media thing.
Well, the media they always put on the TV a lot of homeowners such as yourself, Marcia, and they're running up and down the street with picket signs because they don't want some sex nut living next door to them. And it turns out the guy didn't do a thing.
What about the guy that... Excuse me for interrupting, Marcia.
Well, what, are you putting words into your listener's mouth now, Phil?
I'm not putting words in her mouth. I'm just asking, what about this guy? Remember the guy that chopped off the girl's arms? This guy moved into a neighborhood.
Well, he wasn't in one of our halfway houses, so don't look at me, all right?
Do you get to screen who you get in your halfway house? I mean, doesn't the state just give you what they need to be rehabilitated?
Absolutely.
I mean,
that's exactly right, yes. They do.
So you have no control over them.
Your children are safe to... If they stay 100 feet...
stay in the house locked up,
no, if
which
they
is
stay
not the point.
If they stay 100 feet from our home, from the halfway house.
Oh, so you can't guarantee anything after that. After your sex offender starts profiling
my
child.
Well, can I ask you a question? What is your child doing coming within 100 feet of some sex offender?
What if he's just walking down
lawn?
The street?
He doesn't. He's not allowed to. They're not allowed off the lawn.
He's not allowed to walk down the street in his neighborhood anymore.
No, they are allowed to get into a van, go off to work detail or the various work jobs that they have. But once they're on the sex at the halfway house, they don't go off the sex lawn.
And as the kids walk up and down the neighborhood, and what
are
you?
No, you're asking me about your kids. What do you let your kids do?
My
do they wander onto the lawn of where a sex nut is? I don't think you let them do that.
Oh, so my kids can no longer feel safe to walk up and down the street in their neighborhood? Isn't that
Let me ask you something. You let your kids walk near a sex nut house?
Well, you're telling me you want to
No. You are asking me the questions.
America.
I'll ask you a question. Do you let your kids walk within 100 feet of the sex freak domicile?
Hell no.
Sex freaks. You know, you're a doctor who is charged with the rehabilitation of these guys, and all you've done is call them sex freaks, sex nuts.
No, the lady answered my question. Hell no. You're a good mother. If there were more women like you, we wouldn't have to see half of these overfed Oprah watchers on TV with their signs saying... Get the nut out of my neighborhood.
But in the same instance, my children...
Thank you. I gotta, I got a break. Thank you, Marshall. 1-800-449-8686. Dr. Jim Sadler on the Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, they're real interesting, yeah.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler is with us, talking about halfway houses for sex offenders in middle-class neighborhoods being a desirable thing from the standpoint that those middle-class values rub off on those guys and they shouldn't be run out of the neighborhood. You mentioned your brother Leo, a convicted sex maniac. He had electroshock in prison after 5 years. It took 6 months for him to reacclimate himself into society.
That is correct. And I'll tell you, Phil, from my standpoint, that's a pretty good record.
Yeah, but you said all the guy can do is, like, sit and play with his fingers. I mean, he just sits there staring at the grass.
Well, he's not out there, you know, being a sex nut.
Well, he's sitting on a lawn somewhere, not being a contributing member of society. I don't call that rehabilitation.
And I don't think you qualified, Mr. Hendrick.
Look, the guy is sitting on a lawn playing, you know, mumbly peg. You know, the guy's had electroshock.
I don't think you qualify either to mock my efforts or to comment on my brother, you're right. He doesn't really communicate. He communicates with his hands. And
oh, my God. You got a guy sitting on a lawn somewhere out there in America who can only speak with hand language. He's had so much electroshock.
But he's not going out and I'm not fighting with dogs anymore. I mean.
All right. Let me go to Janice on the Phil Hendry Show. Janice.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
My comment or question is, Doctor, how could you, with any conscience at all, say that your brother was tragically convicted of being a sex offender?
You got to admit it was some tough luck.
It was
tough luck.
Let me finish. I am a victim of a sex crime when I was 8 years old.
What happened?
Well, what do you think happened? He said, what happened?
I just want to know what happened.
What happened? A man around the corner in my middle-class neighborhood attacked me and left me laying there half-dressed.
Oh, yeah?
What do you mean, oh, yeah? God! Jesus!
Yeah, I mean, this is a middle-class neighborhood, and I swear to God, if one of those houses were put into my neighborhood now,
right,
where I have 2 children and 3 grandchildren still in my home,
I'm sorry. Let me back up and say this. Janice, I really believe in what we're doing. There was a time in my life when I felt myself beginning to get a little twisted.
Okay,
I was reading
you know
a lot. Let me just finish.
Janice,
he was wrong,
hold on.
And so are you.
Well, let him finish his point, though.
My point is this, Phil and Janice. I was reading a lot of these case studies, and I was getting, you know, I was getting hot. I mean, that's all there is to it. And so
you're reading sex freak case studies and getting hot.
I checked myself
I
in.
That too.
I checked myself in to one of our halfway houses, and I'm better now. And I'm trying to show that we can turn these guys around.
The guy is. What do you mean you're better now?
I don't.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So now you're laughing at me.
You
don't want me. You don't want me laughing at you, but you're laughing at me.
This woman was attacked when she was a child.
You would have a serious problem. Because when someone is a victim of a crime such as that, where it takes away so much of you, that when you're older and you have children, but before you have children, you have several miscarriages.
Exactly. That's horrible.
Janice,
that's horrible.
And it has to do with that man and what he did to
you at that young age. Have you ever read the case studies of some of these guys? They're real different. And
we're not interested.
But if I did, I would have to get my gun and start blowing them away. Either that or Lorena Bobbitt them, which would be a nice thought for some of these guys.
Oh, yeah?
Because think about it. You men cannot in any way, shape, or form go through what we go through. The invasion, what a man a woman. In no way, shape, or form can you put yourself in my position and be where I have been and go through what I have been through and countless other women and children in our nation. And then for you to have the nerve to say that the morals of the middle class neighborhood are going to rub off on these guys. Oh, no, 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 no. I think that's just the perfect opportunity for them to find more victims.
I'd like to ask the doctor this time. I'd like to ask the doctor a question this time. Do you have a wife? Do you have normal relationship with a woman?
I see prostitutes. I don't think there's anything wrong with that every couple of weeks.
Oh,
I'm very,
yeah.
I relate to them normally. I relate to them normally. I want you to know that, Janice.
You see prostitutes.
Prostitute is not relating with a woman normally.
I
relating
beg to differ.
With a woman normally would not involve exchanging money. For
I can
sex,
tell you.
Number
that,
one.
Well, that's the only way they'll do some of the things that I want. That's the only way they'll do some of the things that I want. And
what
you
things?
Are a sick person, and you
I have wonderful
should not be running a halfway house.
No wonder you call them sex nuts. I don't think you have any respect for them.
Janice, you were saying that when you were younger, you were raped. Can you tell me what happened?
No, she's not going to tell
you. You want details?
Of an 8-year-old
being raped?
Shut up!
He's
a freak.
You hear this?
Yeah, he's a sick freak.
He is absolutely a sick
okay,
freak.
Okay, once again, Schaefer. Once again, Schaefer, you give me a bad guest. What's that, Janice?
What state, what area is he in? Because this just terrifies me.
I don't know. The stuff that we got from him.
Wants details of my rape so he can get off? I mean, where's he at? Is his pants down at his knees?
I don't know. I hung up on him. Where's this guy from, Mike? All the information I have here is... Well, the information I've got here is... that's for us to know and you to find out, is what it says here. All right,
well,
Janice.
Well, that's that the class of people. I swear it is.
Mental cases. Total, you know, yeah, he's a sick, twisted guy.
And he's the one that's determining that these guys are well enough to go out on the street.
Out on the street. Oh. He's got his own brother sitting out on the front lawn doing thumb twists, you know.
Playing tiddlywinks.
Playing tiddlywinks. Can barely communicate like a normal human being. Guy's had electroshock, but he's okay,
yeah.
According to his brother. Well, Janice, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye. What us? You're fired, Schaefer. (1-800-449-8686) And it's time now for our 18th and our 39-part series, Dining in L.A. And we kind of look at a variety of different restaurants throughout Southern California so that if you're visiting here, if you're out certainly seeing Hollywood and the sites that can be seen here in Southern California, you want to check out some of the really good restaurants because there's some great places to eat in Southern California. Bob Green is the owner of Windows on the Boulevard in Pasadena, and we're going to be talking with him. And Bob, a very good evening to you.
Thank you, Phil. It's great. Great to be with you.
Thank you for joining us.
Well, and we'd also like to invite anybody who is a listener of the Phil Henry Show. Just mention that you do listen to the Phil Henry Show, and we'd love to invite you in for a free appetizer and a free drink.
Well, thank you very much. So that's good for...
That's good for Phil Henry Show listeners.
Windows on the Boulevard in Pasadena, we're going to keep that in mind. You offer a lot of different things. We saw the Squeeze of Lime promotion, and Mike told me, I'm not familiar totally with your restaurant, although I am familiar with the Pasadena area. What is the Squeeze of Lime?
Squeeze of Lime, we think, is a terrific social mixer. We cater to a lot of single young people. We do a great business on Friday and Saturday nights, especially in our lounge area. And we recognize how difficult it is for young men to ask, for instance, a young lady out on a date on a Friday night. It can be a little nerve-wracking. As a matter of fact, I've got a son of my own, and I see what he goes through agonizing about the girls at school. So we wanted to make it easier, I guess. And I think women sometimes suffer from a complex that they get from their mothers, this sort of picky, you can afford to be selective mentality. I can tell you, Phil, that I am recently divorced, and I know how tough it is to meet young women. And what we're doing is offering a marketing strategy more than anything else.
All right, so Squeeze a Lemon is a marketing strategy?
It's a marketing strategy, but we like to think of it as a lifestyle opportunity for young men. It targets our single male customers.
All right, what is it?
We give them, and I want you to be, allow me to just kind of finish here, we give them the opportunity, the option of spiking their female date's drink a little bit.
Wait, hold on for a minute.
No, we're not talking about illegal drugs. We're not talking about roofies or anything like that.
You're not talking about roofies. What do you mean by spiking? You're talking about...
What we're saying is simply this, Phil, and if you'll hear me out. If the young man comes in and he asks our waiter for a squeeze of lime, the waiter then knows to put a little extra alcohol in the young lady's drink. And so, in other words, if she orders a single shot, this means give her a double shot. And what it does, hopefully, is it begins to facilitate more socializing, a more social atmosphere between the young man and the young woman. And that's all we're really looking to do at Windows on the Boulevard. As I said, we do a great business. Our restaurant is to die for. We've got a great prime rib this week, $29.95, delicious prime rib, all day roasted. But, yeah, we do have a great lounge and a great place. We've got a band. And
I want to go back to this squeeze of lime thing, though. If the young man says to the waiter, I'll take a squeeze of lime, the waiter, no, that's kind of a wink-wink, nudge-nudge?
Well, I don't know if you want to call it a wink-wink, nudge-nudge.
Is the young lady aware that she's going to have her drink spiked with extra alcohol?
I don't know that it's necessary. She's ordered an alcoholic beverage. I knew that you'd jump on this, Mr. Henry. It's agreed upon by the gentleman and the waiter. All the gentlemen need to do is ask for a squeeze of lime, and we spike the drink a little bit.
What if it's a non-alcoholic drink? What if the young lady ordered a vodka or something?
That generally means that she's probably not a drinker and is not going to recognize immediately the taste of alcohol.
So you're going to spike it anyway?
If the young man asks for, if you think about it, a woman who's not going to drink that night, if you give her a little bit of alcohol, she's not going to notice that. And she'll only notice that she's feeling better. You know?
So she asks for a non-alcoholic Coke, and you guys give it the squeeze of lemon, which is to spike it with some alcohol.
That is correct.
And what if she says to the waiter, I can taste alcohol?
We've had that happen.
What do you say to her?
What we say is, you know what, we got a little bit of sweet and sour that we mixed in there by mistake. We can certainly take it back. Most of the time they say, no, it's okay.
And so they you tell them that taste of alcohol is actually sweet and sour. Isn't this something, I don't know, there's something about this. What if the woman's allergic to alcohol? What if she's on medication? What if she's alcoholic?
Well, Phil, the gentleman obviously is not going to ask for a squeeze of lime because she can't have alcohol. If she can't have alcohol, he's not going to ask for the squeeze of lime.
Well, what if he does anyway?
Well, so then you're saying, okay, so what you're saying to me is he wants to purposely make her sick so he can have sex with a woman that's half dead? I don't understand what you're saying.
Excuse me. What I'm saying is, what do you mean have sex with a woman that's half dead?
Why would he order alcohol for a woman that's allergic to alcohol? I don't get it.
All right. I mean, you approached my producer, Mike Schaefer, and his wife on Saturday. Mike and his wife went in there.
That's right. We were very happy to meet Mike and his wife, Gretchen.
Okay. They went into the restaurant. Mike tells me the food is fantastic. You asked Mr. Schaefer how his date was going and did he need any help. And when he explained when you explained that you'd be happy to make his lady friend a bit more relaxed, he explained to you that woman was his wife. And then what did you say?
Well, Mr. Henry, you know what I said.
No, sir. I'd like you to tell me on the air what you then said to my producer.
When I found out Mr. Schaefer was with his wife, I told him I had a lot of single men with their dates waiting for a table, and that if he and his wife would be nice, they could pick it up a little bit. And
you told him to clear out.
I didn't say clear out. I said just finish your drink and go have dinner.
And Mike Schaefer goes in there with his wife, Gretchen. They sit down. And when you ask him, does he want to spike his wife's drink, and he tells you that that's his wife, you say, could you get out?
Mr. Henry, we did not say get out. We said we had a lot of single guys waiting. Look, you're sitting there on a Friday night at my place. You see a lot of single guys lined up at the bar. They got their dates. They're drumming their fingers on a tabletop. They're waiting to get seated so they can get the squeeze of lime going.
So they can't wait to start spiking their girlfriend's drinks.
You say it as if it's a war crime or something. You say it as if...
I'm not comfortable with guys who are spiking the drinks of their female friends without them knowing it.
Again, we're not using any illegal drugs.
And then that kind of loosens the women up.
Yeah, sure. Loosens them up. They're a little more talkative. Next thing you know, the guy takes her home. Maybe he wasn't going to get a kiss. Now he gets a kiss. Maybe he was only going to get the first base. I mean, excuse me, I don't mean to be crude.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, but maybe now he gets the third or what? You know what?
Okay, I got that.
But that's what I'm saying with Squeeze a Lime, and I don't like the way the media has been characterizing it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Bob Green is with us, and we're talking about the Squeeze of Lime promotion. He has at his restaurant Windows on the Boulevard, where when a guy walks in there with his date, he asks the waiter for a squeeze of lime, and the waiter will start to spike her drink with a little more alcohol. You don't find anything about this to be the least bit assaultive?
No, I do not. Alcohol is a perfectly legal drink. She's ordered an alcoholic drink, and even if she hasn't, it's not going to hurt her. It's not going to kill her. She's going to be fine. You know, some of these women that come in, you know, could use a drink because they look like they're, you know. To quote, there's a great line in a movie, whatever bug you got up your ass, it's going to take a lot of drinks to kill. And I think in a lot of...
Okay, that's...
I'm sorry?
That's fine. All right, 1-800-449-8686.
So what I recommend, really, for a lot of guys is offering the lady a chocolate martini. She's going to get looped just on the Godiva liqueur, and then you can double up on the Stoli vanilla. The apple martini, they're huge. We'll double that up. You even see if a woman doesn't drink, you can entice her with this sweet little girl drinks. They ask for a virgin margarita, you can put a little booze in it. This is all we're talking about. It's not a war crime. We're not talking about defoliating Vietnamese jungles with napalm. We're not talking about running some kid down in an alley and sticking a slug in his back, like you were talking about that whole deal in Cincinnati. We're not talking about, you know, raping and pillaging in the Gulf.
Okay, some of your metaphors are really giving me a headache. All right, hold on. Man. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. This is part 18 in our 39-part series, Dining in L.A. And for those of you who may be visiting the Southern California area, want to know some different restaurants to visit, and we have Robert Green, who's the owner-operator of Windows on the Boulevard in Pasadena, a restaurant that specializes in its prime rib, but also your Squeeze of Lemon promotion has gotten a little bit of attention. You are telling single men who bring their dates in there, give us the wink, give us the nod, tell us you want to squeeze a lemon, and we'll spike up your girlfriend's drink.
I think spike up is a hard word, but we make her more amenable to what you may have in mind, and that's all we're talking about.
That still seems a little...
A little rough? I mean, I don't understand. I really don't like the way you're characterizing this, as if the man is forcibly taking the woman.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying that... Making her more amenable for what you have in mind.
That is correct. And we put that in our brochure.
All right, here is Rob on the Phil Henry Show. Hello? Rob? Okay, Rob. He's gone. No. I had high hopes for Rob, too. Here is Felicia on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I think that the guy's setting himself up for a lawsuit because the guy that's the date may not know that the woman is either allergic to alcohol, or maybe
well,
it's an
I'm
alcoholic.
Sure he's going to say, would you like a drink? And she's going to say, I can't drink, I'm allergic.
Maybe she just says no. Maybe she just says no and doesn't get into
why is she doing that? Why isn't she being honest with him?
Why should she have to tell him her medical history if she doesn't
want
to drink?
What
she should have to say is no.
Well, my point is, don't you
and
think every relationship is based in honesty? And if she's being dishonest right off the bat, he should know that.
Wait a minute.
She doesn't have to tell him her whole medical situation.
And you don't. And you feel
does,
that's honest.
What if she gets drunk from these drinks and gets in a wreck on her way home, and she didn't even know she was being plowed with alcohol?
Well,
sounds to me like she could sue you.
Let's go back to your initial statement that she isn't honest enough to tell the man that she's allergic. I think he needs to know that she's not an honest person.
Why can't she just say, no, I don't want to drink? Why does
is that
she have
fair to
get
him?
Into all of, you know, why?
Is that fair to him if they're going to start on a relationship?
Wait a minute. It's a date, dude.
It's exactly. They're it's not... a date. You don't have
this
to explain to him everything.
Mr. Henry, are you going to be taking the part of these callers, or am I allowed
to? Yes, sir, you're allowed to comment, but you're saying, if we're going to start a relationship, she needs to be honest. Jesus, man, she's going out for a meal with the guy. Doesn't mean she's necessarily going to marry him.
Well, I think she owes him a little more honesty than that. And if she doesn't give him that honesty, then maybe she deserves to. Well, I'm not saying she deserves to, but...
But the thing is whether she gives him honesty or not, you're going to be liable.
Let me put it this way.
Because you're doing this without
her knowledge. Let's say she's not an honest person.
Doesn't matter. You still have no right to do that.
Don't you think we're doing both of them a favor by giving her a little something
extra
to make her more honest?
Absolutely not. You have no right.
I think we need to get a male perspective on this.
To give somebody something they don't want without their knowledge. That can't be right.
No,
I don't think it's legal either.
It's a legal drug.
No, I don't think it's legal to put alcohol in a restaurant. You own a restaurant.
I have a
liquor
license. I have a liquor license.
And to put alcohol in a drink when somebody did not want that.
Well, they didn't say they didn't. They didn't say they didn't. They just said, I'd like a Coke.
Fine.
They didn't say no alcohol in it.
So, they said they'd like a Coke. They didn't say they wanted a Coke.
Hold on for a minute. Are they supposed to say that?
Technically, the state of California, yeah.
I got to say, I'd like a Diet Coke. Don't put any alcohol in it.
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay, so if she says, I like a Diet Coke, don't put any alcohol in it, and then you put it in it anyway.
Oh, now, if she says don't put any alcohol in it, then you got a point. But generally, they don't say that. They just say, I'd like a Diet Coke.
Because they think if they order a Diet Coke, they're going to get a Diet Coke.
Which means that you have the right to put alcohol in it.
No, who can do that right?
Technically, I do have the right if she doesn't say, I don't want alcohol.
All right, let me ask you this. What if I go up to the bar and I say, I'd like a glass of milk, please?
And?
And no alcohol.
There you go.
Wait a second, man. You're going to put booze?
What's ridiculous about it?
Because if they say they want a glass of milk, they want a glass of milk.
Did they specify?
You don't give people what they want in your business?
Wait a minute. Did they specify no alcohol?
No, they shouldn't have to. If they say, I want a glass of milk.
Technically, I'm within my rights.
A glass of milk.
What guy is going to order a glass of milk with a shot of booze in it?
Exactly. What guy orders a glass of milk at a bar? Ah, got you on that one, didn't I? Both
they
of you.
Do. It
Two
happens.
For one. Two shots. Got both birds.
But if I
All
go
right.
into your club and I say, I want a Coca-Cola.
Right.
I should get a Coca-Cola. Not whatever you decide you want to throw into it.
I gotta go. If I'm the waiter and you say to me, I want a Coca-Cola, I go back to the bar and I say, Coca-Cola with vodka. She didn't say she didn't want any booze, so.
So you just put vodka.
Where are you doing that? That's kind of nervy.
No,
I mean, it's
technically the
state law. I don't think you can
ply
someone, especially a business. I don't think you can put alcohol.
Let me ask you a question, ma'am. If you order a Coke, okay, and I bring back the Coke with no ice in it, are you happy?
I don't know. I might say, could you put some ice in it?
Bull crap. You'd want ice in it. You'd expect me to put the ice in it without having to ask for it. So?
So I don't expect you to put alcohol in a drink if I order a Coke.
You got to say you don't want...
What kind of bull crap is this, man? You're running me all around. You're getting me confused. You're saying...
You get ice in your drink?
Huh?
You get ice in your drink?
Yeah.
Did you ask for it?
No.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
But a Coke doesn't automatically come with alcohol. A Coke usually automatically comes with ice.
Coke doesn't automatically come with ice.
I got to ask for it?
Ordinarily, you don't.
I just don't think you can
right.
do that.
Thank
and I
you.
Think you're setting yourself up for a lawsuit. I think you're going to get in trouble on this one.
Let me just say this, Felicia. You come into Windows on the Boulevard, your appetizer's free, your first drink's on me. Even if you don't know you're having it. I'm just joking.
Yeah, that's great. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over here to...
People don't ask for drinks to come in a glass, but we assume that they want it in a glass, not a cup.
Well, what else are you going to put a drink in?
I could put it in a coffee cup. I could put it in a saucer. Hello?
A saucer?
Yes, sir.
Like the way I feed my cat?
Yes, sir. In other words, what we do at in the restaurant business, we do a lot of things that you don't specifically ask for. And if you don't specifically say, I don't want alcohol in it, we're going to put alcohol in it.
Here is Julie on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi. I think that this man is the lowest form of slime that I've heard on the planet.
Oh, ma'am, that is very unfair. That's very unfair.
Well, I don't think it's unfair. You've spent a long time talking about honesty and saying that a woman isn't being honest, saying
yes.
what her entire medical condition is. I think for a man to put alcohol in her drink behind her back is the worst kind of dishonesty. And one of those parables that you made earlier, that you weren't supposedly raping a woman, I think that when you take a woman's control, her own knowledge of what's going into her body away from her by putting something into her drink that she's not even aware of, you are raping her mind,
oh,
and
boy.
You are raping her
I
own
think you're being
her own
dramatic.
Decision-making process.
I think you're being overly dramatic. All we're doing is
I am not being overly dramatic.
Look, Mary,
women
Julie,
have
right?
less weight than men, and they have a higher reaction
that's
to alcohol
point.
Than men
so
do.
If she orders a drink, and she orders a drink that, say, comes with an ounce of alcohol. What's wrong with me putting a couple of ounces in just to get her rolling?
The Slice of Lime brochure here says, our slice of lime loosens the legs. What's that mean?
Well, you want me to spell it out?
Yeah, I'd like you to spell it out. What does that mean?
Ask Julie.
Rape.
That is harsh, that is cruel, and I could sue you for that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Larry Grover's with Conservatives of Kern County. They are a set of morality and media watchdog group. Larry, you are a Republican, and we wanted to ask you about this program, Joe Millionaire, which I know you watched last night.
I did, Phil.
And tell me about the program.
Well, Mother and I were, we watched this Joe Millionaire program last night, and I don't know how familiar you are with the program, Phil.
I saw a little bit of it.
And well, it shows a group of young women who are led to believe that this very handsome man is a millionaire. And these women over time are made to look a little foolish, because we will find out that this guy doesn't have any money, that these women are simply gold diggers. And the reason why I said to you what I said about it being a valuable program is I think that it reveals something that is very true about most, if not all women, and that is, on some level, the only thing they care about is money. That's
got to be a tough thing for you to say.
It is a tough thing for me to say, because as you know, Phil, I was married for a good 15 years. I've got three children by my first wife, Marcy. She elected to end our marriage, and that is certainly her right. But I know it's because I have a very high standard. I go to a lot of matchmaker parties. I go to a lot of singles mixers. The women are looking for a man with money. They no longer want a man of quality or substance. And I think it's very sad.
So women today have lowered their standards?
Oh, yes. And again, I can't say all of them, but most of them. And watch this Joe Millionaire. Watch this program, Joe Millionaire. You'll see exactly what the producers of that program are trying desperately to say as artists, and that is, women are failing as people. And it's a tough thing for me to say. I have not had any steady relationships since Marcy and I divorced, and she, of course, has custody of my children. I have not had any real normal sexual relationships since then because of one thing. I am committed to the Republican Party, and I'm a man of morality, and when you are a man like me who won't be treated this way, you find that women are they're a little bit afraid of you.
Larry Grover is with us from Conservatives of Kern County. We're talking about the TV show Joe Millionaire and how Larry feels it reveals a truth about women. Not all of them, but most. They're interested in money. Talk to me about yourself and what happens when a woman meets a man like you, when you say that you have high moral standards, and I know you. You're a good man.
Well, women, a lot of women being gold diggers, they see me and they're afraid. They're afraid of my high moral standing. The fact that I, and let's get right to the point, the fact that I sexually respect a woman. I will not do anything in the bedroom that would disgrace her. They don't see that that at all. They want money, and it was clear on this show last night.
Now, for those of us who didn't see the show,
well, they bring in these 20 women, and they meet this guy who they're told is worth $55 million, and they start acting like, you know, like women act. How can I scheme into his bed? How can I get my hands on his money? How can I get my mitts all over his money? It's art, Phil, imitating life. And the Joe Millionaire Show proves that being a good father, being a good listener, being a good lover, a good friend, means absolutely nothing with women today. It's about the dollar.
So you like the show?
Well, I do like the show. It's finally exposing women on national television for what they are. And a lot of them are that way. They're money-grubbing bloodsuckers who would step over your dead body to get to an ATM machine, but first take the card out of your back pocket. But respect a man for his moral upstanding character. Women don't do that anymore. This program, Joe Millionaire, shows it, and that's why there are a lot of good men like me out there.
Larry Grover with us. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Larry is the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, talking about the TV show Joe Millionaire. Women are bloodsuckers. And I wrote down what you said. Money-grubbing bloodsuckers who would step over your dead body to get to the ATM machine. You really mean that?
I think it's true of a large majority of women, Phil.
You don't think you've gotten embittered?
No, I don't. I think what I've seen is something most guys don't see, because I do have a high morality, because I am very specific and particular about the kind of women that I will be with.
Well, you're saying something very interesting to me, Larry. Tell me about yourself. Now, you're not a rich man.
No, I'm not a rich man.
What do you do?
I am a hardworking man. I'm the night manager at Culver Print on Venice Boulevard. My income is supplemented by my mother and her pension and Social Security. I am a loving and respectful man. My clothing, while not very modern, is always clean and pressed. I am not one for pornography. I think it dirties up the soul.
Well, let me ask, how would you treat a woman, and I don't want to get graphic, but how would you treat a woman sexually?
Well, Phil, I attend church regularly. I believe that a woman's body is a sacred work of art that is to be touched lightly and with respect. I believe in lovemaking. I will never degrade a woman by removing, if you want me to be graphic.
No, I don't want graphic, but tell me what you think.
Well, I would never degrade a woman by removing her brassiere. I will not debase her by trying all of these, you know, these fancy positions or what have you. Sex is to be engaged in once a month, but not during, you know, her dirty time.
When you say, okay, I understand.
Once a month. But once the act is complete, and that is the act of sex, I wash and bleach all the sheets and I air dry them. I never disgrace a woman by sleeping in her bed. I would maintain separate bedrooms, because that's the kind of man that I am. I am moral. I am upstanding. I do not think the sex act should last longer than a few minutes. Anything else, you are degrading her and treating her like a whore.
All right, then what are your favorite foods?
Well, I enjoy, glad you asked that, Phil. I enjoy cheeses, especially blue cheese and Roquefort, so I'm a bit of a cook. And what I do is I love to boil a ham and then melt blue cheese over it. I enjoy light beer. Mother and I play cards.
Well, Larry Grover is with us, and he is talking to us about the TV show Joe Millionaire and how it has exposed women for what they are. You say blood-sucking, money-grubbing whores.
I didn't say all women.
No, I know you didn't say all women, but you like the show, and a guy who's quality like you can't attract a woman.
No. I just say, Phil, that...
I mean, your attributes are ignored by women.
Well, more to the point, I won't have anything to do with a woman if I think she wants me for money. When they suggest one of these restaurants that are pricey,
that's an indication?
Well, this one gal wanted me to... She wanted me to, and you may not think it's pricey, I do. She wanted to go to Tony Roma's. I think it's pricey, and I won't let some slut who only wants my bank account throw my money around at Tony Roma's. Have some drinks and start throwing my money around at Tony Roma's like a slut. Ordering an extra side with the entree or getting their Heineken beer and all this, you know. So she thinks if she gives me her sex, she'll get my money. Well, I see through that, like I can see sometimes through one of their dresses when they stand in front of the light the right way. So that's what I'm saying, and I think that it's, I thought it was very interesting last night.
But a little depressing, huh?
A little depressing, because it shows women, as I said, for what they are, people who care more for money than they do for a man like me. And I hope women will watch this show and see it for the mirror that it is, the mirror into their souls, because I will not compromise my beliefs.
Well, now that's something too. A lot of times a man or a woman or any of us will see what works and we'll go ahead and do that.
I understand. I will not do that, Phil. I will continue to be a man who respects a woman in bed. I will not defile her with filth. I do believe in leaving most of her clothing on during the sex act. If I have to do it by according to a stopwatch, I will. But I will not. I respect women. And because of that, the brassiere will never come off.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know if you happen to see the show Joe Millionaire, and or whether you believe that women these days have gotten more inclined to like a guy for his money and not for his character. But I have Larry Grover on. He is a single guy. Larry is a man by his own description who wears neat-pressed clothing. It's not the most modern clothing. He's not one for pornography. He thinks it dirties up the soul. He doesn't remove a woman's brassiere during sex. I don't know what that means, but he's... you're a good man, Larry. I would say that.
I appreciate that.
I think there's some things that are a little old-fashioned about you, but I think you're a good man, by and large.
I appreciate that, Phil.
But I will say this. To characterize most women as gold diggers...
Well, I'm not saying... I'm saying that every single woman has an absolute addiction to money to the point where she would throw aside a guy like me who is quality stuff for some guy with money. To me, I don't want anything to do with the slut.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life. The Phil Henry Show is
all of the
back.
Things that we're talking about.
Larry Grover is with us, and we're talking about... Are you watching TV right now?
We're actually watching a rerun of Joe Millionaire last night, Phil, to sort of just refresh our mother's here right now. We wanted to say hello to her.
Hi, how are you, Mrs. Grover?
I'm good.
But the things that we wanted to say mostly is this. Women today have evolved a little bit toward the blood-sucking side. They no longer appreciate a man like myself who can provide a woman with clean sex, clean living as it pertains to meal preparation, clothing, shopping, and the way that we conduct ourselves in public. Everything should be in a cleanly way. And women find me incredibly attractive, and then they find out how much money I make, and they're gone.
And well, what do you make? You're a print manager?
I make $19,000 a year. But what has that got to do with anything when I can provide a woman with cleanliness?
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Go to Ashley. Hi, Ashley. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Larry Grover.
Hello.
Hi.
I can provide myself with cleanliness. I don't look for a partner to provide cleanliness for me. And I would just like to suggest in the brief period of time that I've been listening to the show this evening, I just got in the car a little while ago.
Well, I don't mean I'm going to give you a bath. What I'm saying is that I can provide you with decent sexual relation that does not pervert you or turn you into a whore. And
And that's where I challenge your premise that you're a decent guy. If I got in bed with my husband and he did not take my bra off, I would be extremely disturbed and offended. And we're
understand.
In a healthy Christian sexual relationship. So
I don't understand why
I think you've got some issues you may need to work out that preempt how much money you make.
Wait, ma'am, if you're suggesting that I don't know how to pleasure a woman, I think you're wrong there. I do. But I certainly will not degrade a woman by tearing her brassiere off and making her show me everything.
Okay, what if she takes it off?
Why? Why is she doing that?
What
because
do you mean,
it's
what?
Comfortable.
You're married to her.
You're married to her, she's your wife, and it's comfortable for a woman to sleep without a bra on. It may be comfortable for a woman to sleep naked. Do you have a problem with that?
I can tell you this much, that most of the women that I've known sleep in pajamas or some kind of nightwear. I also would suggest to you that women who want a man for their money usually trade sex for money. And I would suggest that if a man wants to see everything, that he expects her to act like she wants his money. And I don't want to do that to a woman.
Wait a minute. If a woman's interested in you, you think she's interested in you for your money?
For the most part, yes, sir.
All right, and then she's going to offer you sex because of that?
She will she will degrade herself.
Okay, and sir, if that is your premise and that's the way you operate, then certainly you have that choice. I guess I take issue with the fact that you're characterizing yourself as a decent guy, as a paradigm for all other decent men, and I think that does a disservice to the millions of decent men out there who operate a little differently and see things a little differently from you.
I'd like to know what you mean by that. It's not my fault. I'm not in a relationship. It's the woman's fault. They're selfish and don't know how good I am, and they don't know a good thing when they see it.
How many people does the relationship involve? One or two?
Obviously two.
Okay.
But
so if it's anyone's fault that somebody's not in a relationship, it has to be a joint fault, and you're taking no ownership.
Why is it that a woman cannot appreciate a man who will wash and bleach all the sheets and air dry them after sex?
I would think that you're obnoxious and neurotic and would need counseling.
Why is that obnoxious?
After sex, I would like to lie in bed next to my husband and cuddle, and I would like to feel skin against skin.
And you want to lay in the dirt and the filth of what you've just done?
Whoa, buddy. You're not going to get any woman that with an attitude like that. Dirt
exactly.
And filth.
It is. There is fluid everywhere.
It's bodily fluid. It's natural bodily fluid that your body gets off whenever you engage in sexual
acts. I will bleach
act.
And air dry the sheets. Excuse me, that's my right as a Christian.
That is absolutely
right.
Your right.
I'm just asking
for the sake of the audience that you not blame women or call women sluts because they see differently from you.
Oh, so a woman wants to lay around in a sheet stain. Look, if you take your brassiere off for your husband, he must make a great deal of money. Am I right?
He's actually a stay-at-home dad. Makes no money.
He does what, dear?
He's a stay-at-home dad. I make the money.
Then why are you showing him your breasts? I don't understand.
Because I love him, and I love the feel of his skin against mine.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, look at Larry. Thank you very much, Ashley.
Thank you.
Your wife left you 4 years ago because she said you were spending too much time trying to get Bill Clinton out of office.
Yeah, she was a liberal Democrat, yeah.
Okay. The fact is you weren't sleeping with her, right?
Excuse me. I allowed my wife the intimacy of my area once a month after full bleachings. I thought I explained this to you.
You did explain it to me, but I just think that being obsessed with work is a little kooky. Here's Scott on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
The term kooky.
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you. You got to turn your radio down. Turn the radio down.
I met a gal in Colorado.
Hey, Scott, turn the radio down.
How's that?
Can I hear it?
Is that better? Can't hear anything now.
I can hear something, Phil.
You can hear something, Larry?
Hold on, I'll just turn it off. There we go,
no,
now it's off.
No, I can still hear it.
No, you can't. He turned it off.
Well, what am I hearing?
Me, I'm talking.
All right.
Go ahead, Scott.
I thought I heard something.
Yes, me, I'm talking.
He probably don't want to hear a man's point of view as a problem.
No, go ahead. I'm a man. I've been giving a point of view.
Women have, women need money. Men need money.
Of course.
You take a homosexual relationship, somebody in that relationship is going to make money for you to survive, correct?
I wouldn't know anything about homosexuality.
I don't either, but I'm just making a point here, okay? So now I have me and my fiancé here. I met her in a little club. She knew I was a truck driver. She's a professional accountant. We still hooked up. She had no idea how much money I made.
Can I ask you something?
When you
say she, isn't that the way you guys refer to each other?
No.
Like one of the guys?
I sweetheart and dear, actually.
No, but you guys, is it a woman?
Yes, it's a woman.
All right.
It's a woman. What are you, sick?
No, I thought a lot of you gays refer to each one's a girl and the other's a guy.
No, he said it's a female.
Well, he started off by talking about gay relationship.
Yes, and he also said that he was straight.
Well, can I ask you, hello?
Well, I guess he got offended by that.
I wanted to ask him if he takes a woman's brassiere off when he makes love to her, because you may as well leave the money on the nightstand if you do that.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449. I'm a little speechless here because I think that what some people are saying may be true.
Look, can we get back to Joe Millionaire?
Go ahead. I mean, I'm just a little speechless when you talk about bleaching sheets.
I air dry them as well.
Good for you. You air dry them.
But I want to get back to Joe Millionaire as a television program. And if you watch this show, you will see women who come crawling out of the foyer of the house, crawling out onto the driveway, and here comes Lancelot riding up on a horse, and these women, almost like Dracula's wives, begin to circle this man, circling him the way vultures would circle carrion. And as he introduces himself, you can see them licking their lips, looking him up and down as if he is a prized piece of tri-tip. And to me, I think the entire experience is predatory. I find it to be immoral. And I thank God, and I thank the Christian God, that the network ABC, or whatever it was.
Fox.
Okay, you sure about that?
Yeah.
Whoever they are, put it on the air, because I think it's great. And these women will lie on their bellies and crawl like reptiles for this guy. And why? Money. I'm Larry Grover.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover, who's a decent guy, he won't take a woman's brassiere off during sex. He wonders why a woman doesn't want to be with him, and she wants to be with some other guy. Why? Because women are in it for the money. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block. Show 1-800-449-8686.
Larry Grover of the Conservatives of Kern County, which is a respected organization. Larry's also a conservative Republican, a kind of a media and moral watchdog. And Larry, I wanted to ask you about Joe Millionaire, the show you saw last night, which you say is fairly reflective of women being money grubbers.
Well, I think the impression has been given here that I, you know, that I don't know anything about women. Let me say this: I was married for 15 years. I offered my woman, my wife, Marcy, a very pure and bleached sexual performance, which she turned down. And then I see this show last night.
Mother, would you turn it back, please?
Because we're watching a replay. I'm watching a replay. My mother. So then I watch this show, Joe, a Millionaire, and that's about women money grubbing. Now, when I take a woman out for the very first time, I will leave a dollar. This is an interesting thing, and I suggest every man do this. I will leave a dollar out on the seat of the car. Without exception, they will take that dollar. They'll put it in their purse.
Every time you go out with a woman?
Well, I've done it a couple of times. I'll get up and I'll go in to get a pack of cigarettes, or I'll get up and go and get a cigar, or a, you know, a fifth of bourbon or something. And sure enough,
you drink.
What I'll do is I'll get a fifth of bourbon before I take her back to Mother's house, yeah.
And then you leave the dollar on the seat.
And these, as God is my witness, they got their paws on it as soon as they get in the store.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over here to Darlene. Hi, Darlene. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with conservative Kern County Chairman Larry Grover.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to make a point that I think this man has a hard time finding women and getting into a relationship because of the way he is treating them. Number one, not all women want sex just once a month. We enjoy the pleasures of sex as well. We like to be taken out to dinner. Doesn't mean we're whores. We like to be treated nicely. His attitude about women from watching a show where they had 20 women on there is totally wrong.
Well, you saw what those women did. You saw what they were about. All they want was to put their hands down into his pants, not for the right reason, but to get his wallet out.
Not all women are like that. I met a man who...
If you saw a dollar bill, let me ask you, Darlene, if you were going out with me and I left a dollar on the seat to go into the liquor store to get some bourbon.
Yeah?
Go ahead. You take it from there.
The dollar'd stay on the seat where you left it. I'm not going out with you. If I went out with you, it would not be because I think the money you have. It was because I thought you were a nice person asking me out. But
right.
I'll tell you what, but you don't know how to treat a lady, obviously.
Excuse
me? No, you don't.
I treat her with the highest of respect. I treat a woman's body as if it is a sacred religious site.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
You're talking about having sex once a month. You're talking about you would not take a woman to Tony Roma's because that's too expensive.
That's a little
pricey. And she might order a side dish. Sir, you have no clue what women want.
Tony Roma's is not really pricey.
Tony Roma's is not pricey at all.
All right, Mr. Hendry, if you want to go to Tony Roma's with your wife and throw your money away, that's your business. I think it's a little pricey.
Well, what do you think is an affordable restaurant?
I think Olive Garden is nice. I think there's any number of them.
Tony Roma's is no more expensive than the Olive Garden.
Darlene, I will say this to you, and I respect you. I respect women. I will only make love to a woman if she is wearing a good, solid piece of underwear.
Wearing what?
Good, sturdy underwear. In other words, I'm not into this frilly stuff that a woman has to degrade herself in. A woman, for me, looks wonderful wearing good, sturdy, solid, well-designed underwear.
Okay, but you want her to take the underwear off, don't you?
I think if it's necessary, yes.
Generally, it is.
Most generally, I'm thinking so.
Mr. Henry, I don't need for you to lecture me.
All right, but I mean, eventually she's going to take it off.
I understand that. Do you have to keep bringing it up?
What's wrong with me bringing it up?
I think we're on a public radio show, that's all.
All right, I apologize.
My mother told me a good woman leaves her underwear on for as long as possible.
I don't buy that at all. If two people want to make love, which is a beautiful act, in the privacy of their bedroom...
Mother, would you keep him back on the station? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I've lost him, I can't hear.
I'm right here.
Are you there, Larry?
I'm right here, Phil, yeah.
Well, what was going on?
My mother turned the TV on. Go ahead, Darlene.
Let's get back to this thing. Your mother said a decent woman leaves her underwear on long enough. Okay. And so, therefore, you're treating a woman badly if you remove her clothes, I guess.
And up to a point, yeah.
All right. Darlene, anything else? Because I think...
I think the first thing is he needs to move out of his mother's house. He'll never get a relationship trying to take women back to his mother's house.
A mother is a man's best friend, Darlene. A boy's best friend is mother.
No, I think... You have some serious issues, and until you get over those, you're never going to get
Grover,
into a relationship.
Hold on for a minute, Darlene. Hold on. Is your mom there?
She's here, yeah.
Let me talk to her, because I know Marjorie. She's a nice lady.
Mr. Hendry.
Hi, Phil.
Marjorie, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
And you're on our radio show right now with Darlene.
Hello.
Hi.
I want to ask you a question. Do you like your son living at home?
I don't mind it, but I... You know, he wasn't circumcised.
He wasn't what, dear?
He wasn't circumcised. And he blames me for that.
He blames you for not circumcising him?
Yes. Because I called him Missile Dick one day. And
all right, I don't need to hear that. Darlene, I'm sorry.
But you know what I'm
That's
saying.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand. Darlene, thank you very much.
Thank you.
What did you say, Mother?
Bye-bye.
I didn't say anything.
What did you say, Mother? Did you embarrass me, Mother?
No, Larry, please.
Dirty whore! Larry, not the face! Not the face! Embarrass me with a woman? The one woman that I love? The one woman who I think might have gone out with me? You whore!
What did you do to your mom?
Oh, nothing. We always play around like that.
We had you going, though, didn't we, Phil?
Oh, God, you people are sick. Here is Jamie on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Jamie.
Hello?
Yes, Jamie, go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, dude, I want to ask you a question. If you think women are sluts because you think Tony Roma's is too much, if your mama asked you to take her to Tony Roma's, would you think she was a slut?
My mother would never do that, sir. My mother
understands
she understands the value of a dollar. My mother's very happy at an Applebee's. We've had some of our most memorable times as mother and son at Applebee's or a wonderful Bennigan's. They have a nice 5 o'clock in the afternoon. If you want to have a wonderful time with your mother, go to Bennigan's at 5 p.m. And they've got a wonderful cream chicken. Have you ever done that? What about you?
Yeah, I've been to Bennigan's before.
Yeah,
I've been more than Tony Roma's or Olive Garden.
Well, Mother and I enjoy Bennigan's, and we've got a thing for Bennigan's, so thank you very much. You're not going to move us off of Bennigan's.
Yeah, but the point the man's making is Tony Roma...
Tony Roma serves hard liquor.
Oh, so that's it.
Yes, that's it.
But you're the guy going in and getting a fifth of bourbon while a girl waits in the car.
That's when I'm out on a date. That's different.
And if you're such a Christian man, why you call your mom a whore?
I did not call her a whore. I was kidding. We were playing around. We were play acting for Mr. Henry.
Oh, you were playing.
Yeah, I was playing.
But that's degrading a woman, calling her a whore. That's calling her out of her name. That's calling her a whore. And
well,
just because a woman asks you to take her to dinner, don't mean she's a slut. When your daddy asked your mama to go to dinner, was he calling her a slut?
No, he did not. But he certainly didn't. She didn't ask to go to Tony Roma's.
They didn't have Tony Roma's. They probably had a damn McDonald's, and McDonald's was probably just as much as Tony Roma's back then.
It probably was. My father would never so much as degrade. My mother would never degrade my father by asking him to take her to McDonald's. My mother was no whore, sir. She would never go to McDonald's. No, she took my father to wonderful places like New Way Hot Dog and Howard Johnson's.
Way Hot Dog and Howard Johnson's.
That's right.
So, in other words, your mom would have been a whore had she...
Wait. Do I detect you gentlemen laughing at me?
Well, it's pretty funny.
Real funny.
Hey, Jamie, something we had back in those days that you might enjoy, we had something called Sambo's. We went to Sambo's. We had a great time there.
It was a coffee shop chain in California.
I loved it. And they have the little black boy running around.
Yeah, okay, fine. All right, Jamie, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. All right, don't make fun.
You're a trip, dude. You need psychiatric help, man, for real.
I need psychiatric. I'm the guy who is trying to air dry my area so that a woman can be happy with the scent, and you think I'm nuts.
Yeah, because I tell you what, at 3 o'clock in the morning when I get through banging my wife, I'm not going to get up and go air dry no damn sheets. That's why you put a towel down underneath her.
You sure that I will not disrespect any woman without first doing a full hot air blow dry on the sheets and then burning the mattress.
Feel like somebody need a hot air blow your head.
Are you black?
Am I black?
Yes, sir.
No, I'm a southern white boy.
All right, well, you sounded a little bit like Otis Redding there for a minute.
All right.
And what difference does it matter if I'm black or white? I still think you're
true.
An idiot.
We're all the same, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
No, we're not, because I don't. No, because I don't think, because my wife, dude, it doesn't matter whether you're married, you're dating, or what. You're going to pay for a shot of tail either way. If you take a girl out to dinner, or
wait a minute. I know who this is.
If you marry a woman and buy her a pair of pants for Christmas, you just pay for that shot of ass you're going to get that night.
All right, well, thanks a lot, Dwight Yoakam, for calling up. Anyway, Phil.
That's not Dwight Yoakam.
It's not?
No. Thank you, Jamie, for your call.
I thought for sure that was Dwight. I know he's cutting an album.
No, that wasn't him. All right, thanks a lot, Larry, you pile of dirt. Larry Grover on our program.
I love guitars and Cadillacs.
Larry Grover on our show, and I'd also like to thank his mother, Marjorie Grover, for coming on and telling us about his situation. 1-800-449-8686. We're going to have to check out Joe Millionaire next week then, man. Find out what happens after the thing that happened this week, whatever the hell that was. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We have Caltech on the line. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Jeff Dowder's with us, a professor of mechanical physics. Where are you right now?
Right now we're in one of the outer buildings. We're testing a cyclotron, which has been over at JPL, and we're very proud to have it here at Caltech and sort of starting it up. But right, all you're hearing right there is the motor on one of the forklifts that's carrying some of the equipment in.
All right, but you're at Caltech now.
Yes, sir, I am.
I wanted to ask you about this theory that gravity is as fast as light, which they are talking about now, that the Einstein theory, gravity being as fast as light, has resurfaced, and they believe that it's true, that Einstein was right. Why do they believe that?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that nobody knows why gravity is as fast as light, except Einstein did know. And the reason why Einstein knew was he was the most smartest of anybody of the last 100 years. If you look at everybody that was very smart, and you mentioned a few people in your last, when you were talking about, you know, people who are very intelligent, Einstein was very intelligent.
Well, who did I mention?
Well, I mean, you mentioned Chuck Barris, people like that who are creative, but that doesn't mean they're as smart as Einstein.
I never thought Chuck Barris was as smart as Einstein, I can tell you that.
Well, no, but I'm saying a lot of people think that Chuck Barris is some kind of a big deal when Einstein, for me, is the greatest man who lived in the last 100 years, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
And as such, he was the greatest thinker, and he said that gravity's as fast as light, and so that's what I think.
Yeah, but why is gravity as fast as light?
We don't know.
Well, I don't understand. When you say you don't know, what does it mean gravity is as fast as light? When you say you don't know, what does that mean?
It means that I don't know. It means that Einstein said it, and that's good enough for me. I mean, that's pretty much...
Well, what do you mean it's good enough for you? Are you saying that the scientific community would take something that Einstein said and just accept it because it was good enough for them?
Well, are you going to argue with him? Einstein's was the smartest one.
Well, what do you mean, Mike? I'm not going to argue with him. I'm not a scientist. You're the scientist. Hello?
Nothing.
How do we know that gravity is as fast as light?
We don't.
Then why do we believe it?
Because Einstein said so. Because Albert Einstein said so. And just as I take the word of Paul to the Corinthians, and I take the word of Jesus when he said, love thy neighbor as thyself, I take the word of Einstein, of Albert Einstein, because I believe. Because I believe it. Believe it.
I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about science.
Yes, sir.
So the only way we know that gravity is as fast as light is because Einstein said so.
Dilbert Einstein said it. And then
what do you mean, Dilbert Einstein?
Albert Einstein is what I said. If you'll get me a minute, Albert Einstein.
Yeah, have another hit, man. Maybe you'll figure out who you're talking about.
Hold on.
I was kidding.
Well, I thought you were serious. Ben Stein was...
It ain't Ben Stein and it ain't Dilbert Einstein. It's Albert freaking Einstein. How come gravity is as fast as light?
Alfred Einstein said so.
Hey, wait a minute.
What?
Did you check it out with Dianne Feinstein?
That's pretty good. I'll check it out.
What a jackass. Why don't you get me somebody I could talk to? Did Dianne Feinstein? Hey, I know what, man. If you're still listening, check it out with Victor von Frankenstein. He might know. Every time I try to do science on this show. But there's no science in ordering the Phil Hendry Show t-shirt. The official t-shirt of the Phil Hendry Show is here. Many of you don't want to walk around with a Teds of Beverly Hills shirt on. I understand that. A lot of you don't want to wear that Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirt. Well, the official Phil Hendry Show t-shirt is available. And it's really cool. It's a bright red with the bright yellow sunburst in my head right in the middle of the shirt. Suitable for sleeping in. Suitable for just about anything. Order one now. Tell me what it's suitable for. Tell me what you use your Phil Hendry t-shirt for. All you got to do is order online. That's philhendryshow.com. PHILHENDRIESHOW.com. This baby is durable, heavyweight, 100% cotton t-shirt emblazoned with the Phil Hendry Show legendary logo. A perfect gift for the Phil Hendry fan in your life, or a great reason to spend a little bread on yourself. Get it while supplies last. It's the new Phil Hendry Show T-shirt, available on our website. It's also available for waxing cars.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.